This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Pierce County?
So a leader of a Pierce County charity for veterans in need. Name of the organization is Veterans Independent Enterprises of Washington View. She allegedly siphoned money from the nonprofit and used it to pay her rent, according to Susanna Frame, an awesome investigative reporter over at King 5. You see, this is how it works. Veterans do some work on behalf of this organization, View. They get paid for that work. Except, unfortunately, in some circumstances, a lot of them haven't been getting paid the way that they were supposed to. And it turns out the finances there are in a total mess. In part, it would appear, the operations manager, her name is Rosemary Hibbler. She allegedly withdrew more than $11,000 from the bank accounts of the nonprofit to pay her landlord's rent, or landlord rent, and late rent payment fees between October 2018 and March of this year. It turns out Hibbler is an 8-time convicted felon. She spent time in prison for theft, stealing from her past two companies that she worked for.
This month alone, in January of 2019, is over $11,000 withdrawn at a View Bank account at a casino. Did you do this?
I can't. I'm not going to answer that question.
Are you stealing?
By the way, that kind of sounds like the answer is yes. Yeah? I mean, here, let's do this one more time. You'll swallow that protein bar that you're eating. And you ask me if I stole $11,000 and took out money at a casino. This is how it's supposed to go. You play Susanna Frank.
Did you take out $11,000 at an ATM in a casino?
No.
All right.
That's it.
Good talk.
Okay, now let's do that one more time. Do it again.
Did you take out $11,000 at a casino, Jason Rant?
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I can't answer that question. It's so suspicious when people do, like, I just can't answer that question. Why can't you answer that question? What would be the reason behind not answering that question if not total guilt?
Are you stealing from the View?
No. No. What I have done is committed myself to making sure that View stays, the doors stay open, and that we can continue to support our veterans.
So I wouldn't call it steal. I mean, what is it to steal? I mean, I may have borrowed the money without the intent of bringing it back. And maybe I borrowed the money to pay for bills that it's not supposed to pay for. But I mean, is that stealing? Is that truly stealing? Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It is.
Well, the good news is, in her case, she's got a landlord. His name is Tyler Baxter, talking with King 5. And I'm assuming that once I play this clip, he's all going to be like, actually, she's been a wonderful person to deal with. She's a perfect character of perfect values and principles.
She's living on other people's money in luxury. It's month after month. And, you know, it's large amounts of money that she not only owes me, but she owes back to the veterans.
Yeah.
Ringing endorsement.
Yeah, probably don't put that on your Tinder profile. Don't quote that, dude. King 5 then found that more than $250,000 in unexplained purchases exist. Expenses withdrawals detailed in the nonprofit's bank record from May of 2018 to April 2019. The expenses included approximately $26,000 either withdrawn from local casino ATMs or spent inside of the gambling establishments. The investigation also found $40,500 of the group's money was transferred into someone's personal bank account. At one point, trying to get even more information, Susanna Frame from King 5 was kind of did the, oh, you're there in a hallway, and I just so happened to have my cameraman attached. Let's try to get some answers. Didn't go so well.
Rosemary, can you tell me if you're using the View's money to pay your rent?
Yes.
In Tacoma?
I mean, no.
Were you using the veterans' money to pay your rent, Rosemary?
I forgot. I don't know.
I think that the veterans deserve an answer to that question. Nothing you'd like to say to the veterans who have lost out on money?
You know what's especially just awful about this? She's also a vet. And so if these allegations are true, I mean, that's just a next level scumbag. Then Susanna Frame goes up to a board member. His name is Gary. And this is actually the best audio I think they've ever got, because Susanna's trying to ask some questions of Gary. Gary kind of wants to answer, but then in the background, you hear Kibler being all like, shut up, Gary! Shut your face!
We have evidence now that the use money was used to pay for rent.
Please, there's no comment.
Send it to me.
No comment. Gary, no comment.
Anyway, aren't you her boss? Aren't you her boss?
Gary, shut up! You always talk out of turn! You're going to get me in trouble!
Gary,
you're gonna
stop it.
You're gonna ruin it.
Bad.
Shut your face. This sucks all around. For the people who are impacted, for the community that now probably has lost a lot of faith in this organization, I wouldn't give money to an organization like this. I wouldn't. And I have no idea how it's run outside of this individual as outlined by King 5. But let's say they were just to fire her as a result of this. I wouldn't give any money to this organization. I would never give support to this, because you know what? They hired her. They didn't do their due diligence, it would appear. They didn't find out any of this happening for the last almost year. That's a problem. That's a problem for view. Now, I suppose it's possible that she's 100% innocent, that all of this can very easily be explained away. I mean, I don't know how, because when you're asked directly whether or not you took out money at an ATM at a casino and you're not able to answer that directly, it sends the message that you're guilty. I'm certainly open to any information that comes out, but kudos to Susanna Frame for this awesome investigation and this reporting over at King 5. If you want to get all of the details, and they've got like a 10-minute video almost up at king5.com, I highly recommend you check it out. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So John Hickenlooper ended his Democratic bid for president today. So there's John Hickenlooper. He's out the door. He's gone.
He was the one non-socialist running.
Was he?
Yeah, he's the one who got booed for saying we shouldn't go in the direction of socialism.
Oh, yeah. The one relatively sane. There's another non-socialist, the guy from Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Bullock.
You're right. But
so he's run.
He was booed, too, I think.
They were all booed, unless you're a crazy person. He, of course, is the former Colorado governor. He was not going to make it to the debate stage next month, so he decided now to call it quits. He's likely to run for the Senate in Colorado. You see some polls in an imaginary world of him versus Cory Gardner, who's a Republican who currently represents Colorado. It shows Hickenlooper winning very easily, so that would be a huge pickup for the Democrats if he were to run and win in Colorado. He released today a 3-minute video calling it quits.
People want to know what comes next for me.
I don't want to know that. I mean, I'll let him answer. I'm just, the whole people want to know.
Yeah, in general, no.
If people wanted to know what you were up to next, they probably, that means they have some interest in you, which means they might have supported your run for president, but they didn't. Like, you were not polling at all anywhere. I mean, you were just as bad as Jay Inslee. So I don't think people want to know, and no one's wondering. And the only thing most people are wondering, like, Hicken what?
Hickenlooper.
Is that a disease that's spreading? Should I not go into the water?
That's mean. That's mean.
Okay.
I've heard from so many Coloradans who want me to run for the United States Senate.
They were all like, don't run for president, dude. Well, I guess you can run for Senate, I guess.
They remind me how much is at stake for our country.
How much?
And our state. I intend to give that some serious thought.
He's running.
I've been a geologist, a small businessman,
ooh,
a mayor, a governor.
Studies rocks.
For president of the United States.
Dumb as one, too.
At each step, I've always looked forward with hope, and I always will. Thank you.
Yeah, good for this is actually huge news for Jay Inslee. If, let's just go with me on this, because I think it's possible. If Jay Inslee picks up all of the support that Hickenlooper had, Jay Inslee could surge to 0.73%.
All the way up there?
Yeah, not 70.73, but I mean, that's closer to 1%. That could get him on the on the debate stage.
I wonder
that's
what
good.
The weather is like up there. 0.073%.
Still chilly, like the reception that he's been getting from the American public. Yeah. Bye-bye, John Hickenlooper. We hardly knew ye. In fact, that's probably why you're dropping out.
Get out of here, Hickenlooper!
It does kind of sound like a disease you might pick up, like a bacteria, if you go into a water, like a bunch of water that's been contaminated by like a sewage spill. Like if you jump into the Puget Sound after a King County sewage leak, like you're going to get a Hickenlooper. He got Hickenlooped.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Stay out of Juanita Beach. You might get a Hickenlooper.
Do you think he chose his last name based on the disease?
Well, he didn't choose his last name.
You think his family chose his last name based on the
disease? No one chooses their last name.
Really?
Did your family choose their last name? It's like a chicken and egg scenario. Where did it come from?
No one here has chosen their last name.
Okay, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. On the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. Keep those text messages coming, 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So ironically, as John Hickenlooper is saying goodbye and people are apparently asking him to run for Senate, Beto O'Rourke is saying, I'm not going to run for Senate. I am going to stay on the campaign trail. I'm going to defeat evil, blah, 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 blah.
There have even been some who've suggested that I stay in Texas and run for Senate.
That's mostly been my family, who is sad to see me on a national stage embarrassing myself like this. They say, Daddy, please come home. Sweetheart, please come home. But I said, no. We need to have a conversation about our future. But let's do that after I lose.
That was dark.
But that would not be good enough for this community. That would not be good enough for El Paso. That would not be good enough for this country. We must take the fight directly to the source of this problem. That person who has caused this pain and placed this country in this moment
Hillary
of peril.
Clinton.
And that is Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to say Hillary Clinton. So Beto has no shot in the world. He knows that. And it's weird that he makes this comment, because it doesn't really mean anything. If he loses, when he loses, he is in fact going to run for Senate. You'll recall after he was defeated by Ted Cruz. And by the way, Ted Cruz won despite almost unprecedented amounts of money and media coverage in that race.
Rockstar.
Ted Cruz was still able to defeat Beto O'Rourke. Beto has no future. But at the time, you'll recall him saying, I'm not going to run for president. There's no way I'm going to run for president. I'm not interested in doing that. I don't think I'm able to really heed the call that is necessary right now. And then, of course, he almost immediately decides that he's going to run for president. Same thing here. I'm not going to run for Senate. He's running for Senate. The second that he decides to finally pull out, he will run for Senate. And the fact of the matter is, he doesn't need to right now. If I were him, I would probably stay in the race as well. He's qualified for the next debate. He's going to be on that stage. He's in a better position right now than he was, at least from a debate perspective, when he was doing one of the two nights, because you're, of course, not going to get the same amount of interest in both nights, and it has everything to do with who else is on that stage. If he's able to get on a stage with the big names, the Elizabeth Warrens, Bernie Sanders, Joe Bidens of the world, Kamala Harris, well, all of a sudden, he might be able to get some momentum. It's still going to be hard, and he ultimately is not actually going to get the momentum he needs, but it's better for his brand to stay out there. This is all about building name recognition, because despite all of the media attention for his race in tech, there's still a lot of people who don't really know what he stands for. He's just some dude who wears the same white shirt every day. He stands on table counters nonstop, including when people are just trying to eat their dinner, but that's how he talks. He rolls up his sleeves because that indicates he works hard. And he talks about everything with this weird sense of intensity that I don't like, literally everything. So it's the same level of intensity when he's talking about gun control, when he's talking about immigration, when he's talking about what he had for lunch that day. I had this turkey sandwich. It is the best turkey. Like, okay, we got it.
Why is no one pointing out how arrogant you have to be to say being a senator isn't good enough and he needs to be president of the United States or bust. He's not interested in a meager Senate run.
It's like, yes, of course I can run for Senate, But that's not going to be good enough because only I can do it. I mean, I suppose you have to have that level of arrogance to run for any position, certainly for president. So I'm not going to give him a hard time on that particular issue.
Win a race first.
He was a congressperson for a day and a half.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's more than you've done. What do you do? What did you get elected to?
Student council in the fifth grade.
Yeah. Well, I was student government in college and high school. I was president, which is actually weirdly more important and interesting than Beto O'Rourke has ever done. 1-800-465-877. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
So the SPD is actively targeting drug dealers in order to go after not just the drugs, but to go after gun violence. Because a lot of these drug dealers are using guns to threaten people. And generally, when you find a whole bunch of drugs, you're finding a whole bunch of weapons as well. And so the Seattle Police Department's West Precinct Anti-Crime Team, ACT, they're going after these drug peddlers in and around neighborhoods in downtown Seattle. Their sergeant, Rob Brown, spoke with the Seattle Times on this, said one of the professional risks of being a drug dealer is people know you have access to drugs and money. It's great every time you get a gun off the streets because that takes away an opportunity for someone to get shot in a spontaneous shooting. Now, as they are doing this, and this is, I'm glad they're doing it. Hopefully the King County prosecutor or the Seattle City Attorney's Office, depending on what kind of charge they end up bringing against these bad guys on the streets, hopefully they're cooperating and will actually put these people in jail because a big part of the problem is we're not actually prosecuting these bad guys. Hopefully they participate, but understand that as this is going on in this city, know that they're being called out by bad faith actors like Shama Sawant, socialist Seattle City Council member. Know that she's being called out. These cops are being called out by the anti-cop voices in Seattle. They're being labeled murderers. They're being labeled racists. They're being labeled fascist pigs, and they're doing this job. Now, unfortunately, in circumstances like this, when you're actively going after people who are bad actors, who have access to weapons, who are desperate to get away from the cops, when doing this kind of work, there is an increased risk of an officer needing to use his or her gun on the bad guy who wants to do them harm. At some point, and no officer wakes up wanting to shoot people, including bad guys. They will shoot bad guys when they have to. But no one wants to live with the fact that they shot and killed someone. There's not a single person who wants to have that on their shoulders for the rest of their life. It changes you, even when it's 100% justified. Even when they know they should have done it. Even when there's no doubt in their mind and everyone around them is telling them this is the right thing to do. It changes you. I've talked to enough people who've been put in those positions, and that's what they say. So in this case, there is an unfortunate likelihood that they are going to use their weapon or some kind of force on some of these bad guys to protect all of us. And the second that happens, you're going to see Shama Sawant and all these anti-cop voices on Twitter, at City Hall. They're going to be shouting these cops down, and they're going to be calling them the worst of the worst names you can imagine. And yet these officers, they show up to work every single day, and they do the work that they need to in order to protect all of us, including people like Shama Sawant. So just make sure that you know that this is going on and you're ready at a moment's notice to step up and back the blue. Because it's like a script. We know exactly what's going to happen. And people like Shama Sawant and the activist cult members that follow her, they don't care that they are trying to ruin the livelihoods of these cops. They don't care whatsoever. They have an ideological agenda, and they stick to it no matter the consequences. And there's going to be a cop who's going to use force, and that cop is going to come under the scrutiny of these absolute monsters out there who hate the work that they do. So just be ready to fight on their behalf, because we on this show, Back the Blue, and I know every single person who's listening to me right now is in the exact same position. In fact, if you want to help back the SPD, the officers who are out there, text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. The SPD Honor Guard right now is raising money just for, I believe, just a few more days. They're selling Glassy Babies. I bought one a while ago. It's an awesome product, and all the proceeds go to the SPD Honor Guard. I posted photos of the Glassy Baby that I bought. People are saying that where could I get one? Well, you can get one by texting the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link so you can purchase one. Again, it goes to the Honor Guard for the SPD. It's a really good organization that you should back. Text DONATE. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, if you don't have the KTH smartphone app, well, that's a mistake. Because when there's breaking news stories or especially compelling guests, we send you an alert right on your phone. And sometimes you're in the car and you're listening to a segment, but you got to get out of the car. If you don't want to stop listening, well, you can just listen on the phone. Text the keyword app, APP. To 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to our smartphone app on your Android phone or your iPhone. Or, of course, you can just search for the name KTTH on your app store on your phone. Anti-Semitic Congresswomen Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar both were denied entry into Israel during their upcoming overseas trip. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, upon learning that her squad colleagues were banned from entry, she said, "Oh, I'm not going to go either." Israel is all like, "Oh, we didn't invite you, nor do we want you here, so please stay." "Oh, well, I'm still tweeting it." Okay. Now, the trash website Vox.com, they reported earlier today that the reason why Israel decided to ban these two from entry is because these two are Muslim women of color. That's what Vox said. That's how disgusting and disturbing and dishonest Vox.com is. We know that that is not why they decided to say no to Tlaib and Omar. It's simply because they seek to destroy the Jewish state as we know it. They both support BDS, Boycott, Divest, Sanction. That is an anti-Semitic movement that seeks to destroy the Jewish state as we know it. These folks are sympathetic to terrorist organization Hamas. Rashida Tlaib, in particular, removed Israel from a map in her office by putting a post-it note titled Palestine over it. These women do not support Israel, but then go one step further. They want to see it destroyed as we know it. Allowing them to go into Israel would legitimize and normalize their hate. And more importantly, and more alarmingly, it would be used for propaganda purposes. Benjamin Netanyahu put his position in a statement. It was a rather lengthy statement. But a part of it said the two-member congressional visitation plan shows that their intent is to hurt Israel and increase its unrest against it. Now, I was talking with someone a little bit earlier about whether or not this was essentially good PR for Israel. Because right now, and I've seen some people on Twitter make the claim that now we've created martyrs out of Tlaib and Omar. No, we have not. See, anti-Semites who are upset about this were always going to be anti-Semitic. Right. If you're a Jew hater, you're going to be a Jew hater regardless of what Netanyahu allowed in this case. So it's a wash with them. They still are hateful bigots. On the other hand, the folks like me who support Israel, we understand the nuances of these conversations and we're not going to change our position because we understand exactly why Netanyahu would say no to this. In fact, they have a law on the books that denies entry for folks who support BDS. The founder of BDS is not allowed to go into Israel. Good. He should not be allowed to go into Israel. I support this wholeheartedly. As much as I am sympathetic to the First Amendment situation, if it were to occur in this country, Netanyahu's right. But of course, that doesn't make Tim Ryan happy. He's a representative who's running for president. He told MSNBC that, "Oh, this is actually Trump's doing. We're going to blame Donald Trump for this. It's all to distract from the recession that's coming."
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think it is President Trump getting completely unhinged because the looming recession is making him mad. And we saw it yesterday. He's beating up the Fed. Now he's trying to distract on this issue with Israel. And I think the fact that Netanyahu would empower him on this is completely ridiculous. I thought it was ridiculous when Netanyahu came to speak in the United States Congress when Barack Obama had a position that he was trying to hold and yet was undermined by the Republicans in Congress when they invited him to speak. So for him to just, you know, be a lapdog to Donald Trump, I think is completely irresponsible. Those are two members of the United States Congress.
Okay, yeah, he's a lapdog to the president. The president did come out in tweet form, at least today, supporting this or encouraging this, but the decision apparently had already been made before the tweet actually went out. And I've seen reporting to suggest that at least the White House is saying they played no role in back-channeling any messages to say no to this. I'm glad that this is what they're doing. We should stop legitimizing hate and normalizing anti-Semitism. And a lot of people out there keep saying on Twitter, and these are usually people who, after I call them out, they will then attack me for being a Jew. These are anti-Semites, for the most part, who are making these points. But I know some people out there right now are listening and trying to figure this out and saying, okay, does that... Why does criticism of Israel equate to anti-Semitism? I don't think that. What's the criticism of Israel? What's a policy of Israel that AOC or Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib are saying? I keep asking that question. No one's able to show me specifically a policy that they're calling out. Now, I do hear them constantly going after the state of Israel and the government, but then when you listen to what it is they're saying, again, it shows you an anti-Semitic intent. They say, oh, well, did you know that Jews in Israel are only pretending to support the LGBT community? They're doing it so they can go ahead and murder innocent Palestinians? That is an anti-Semitic charge. Then when I come out here and I defend Israel, I get called someone who holds dual loyalty to Israel and the United States because I'm a Jew. That is an anti-Semitic trope that has been used over and over and over again. The people who are calling this out, who are upset with this, generally speaking, not entirely, are either anti-Semitic or they sympathize with anti-Semitic positions. Now, you just heard there Tim Ryan talking about, oh, man, the recession is about to hit. There is a movement right now. And I suppose it's rather ironic given the clip that we just played with Tim Ryan talking about how the president is trying to distract. Well, the Democrats don't want to distract from their message right now. And part of their message is to promote the idea that our economy is failing, that our economy is going to go off of a cliff, that our economy is near utter defeat, a depression, a recession that we've never seen before. They know that that hurts the president. They know that that hurts the president. And on CNN, John Avlon, John Berman, Allison Camerota, they seem to celebrate the idea that the economy crashing could hurt President Trump.
The president has been underwater for his entire presidency in terms of job approval. The one area where he's been above is the economy. People have given him credit for the economy. And if the economy goes south, he is in a world of hurt.
And to your point, just very quickly, we had one of our panels of Trump supporters on. These were swing voters in Michigan who had become big fans of the president. They had voted for Obama and then voted for Donald Trump and become big fans because of the economy. So I just want to take one little trip down memory lane to a month or two ago with what they said could ever turn
their
ardent support.
Come on.
Want to read it? I'll do a dramatic reading. Allison Camerota asked, is there anything...
Are you playing Allison?
You want to play Allison?
No, you play Allison.
All right, Allison asked, is there anything that he could do that would lose you?
And Daryl, his most ardent supporter, says, start losing money. And then the other ardent supporter says, the economy crashing. And then they say, the economy start going backwards. If that happens... We're done.
Yay! I mean, you could almost hear the glee in their voice. They're clearly not doing it in the way that Bill Maher has done it now twice on his HBO show, literally cheering a recession that's going to cost people jobs. Now, we've said this many times on this show. I've said it in my commercials for the Online Training Academy. History does suggest that the economy is going to slow down. That is going to happen. Now, of course, people who are good faith actors in all of this will try to mitigate the concerns, right? At some point, the economy is not going to continue to go up, 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 and up. History says it's going to go down some. Now, the question is, can you mitigate it a bit? And Jim Cramer over at CNBC was on with the Today Show and said, okay, let's relax a little bit on the way we're talking about the economy, folks.
Well, I think we need to dial back the hysteria first. The markets are up huge. Dow up 9. S&P up 14, NASDAQ up 17.
You mean year over year?
Right. Yeah. So let's just kind of be a little more cool. There are many people who might think are sowing panic. That's not necessary. I really don't want to be someone who is taking the ill-advised position that it must end in recession. People should recognize things are not as horrible as, let's say, the media is making it out to be.
Oh, shocking. Shocking. The actual fundamentals of the economy are not specifically what Democrats and their supporters in the media want it to be. I know, I'm shocked too. I mean, that shakes me to my core. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. A hit-and-run crash involving a Lime Pod car share was the latest crime committed by people using ride-sharing services here in the area. And now a lawyer seems ready to sue on behalf of her client, Jonathan Gunning. He was stopped at a red light in Seattle, and a Lime Pod crashed into him. When we reported the story yesterday, the SPD had not yet caught the driver, but they did catch the passenger. Catherine Fleming represents Jonathan Gunning, and she joins me now. Catherine, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hi. Thank you, Tom.
Jason, so you've called into question.
Oh, sorry,
that's okay. You called into question the service, and Cairo 7 says that your client is planning to sue. So how is what happened LimePod's fault?
Well, I just want to step back a little bit. We are prepared to sue, but we are still in the earliest stages. And as far as why LimePod is at fault, there is a real issue as far as how their Lime is allowing folks to access their LimePods with very little vetting. So all you need is to scan a driver's license and put in some form of credit card. And what Lime and many of these, their competitors are trying is to make this as easy as possible, as frictionless as a transaction. And they're making it a little too frictionless so that folks who are under kids really are able to maybe take a picture of their parents' driver's license and grab their credit card. And the next thing you know, they're on a joyride that results in a really bad accident.
Did that happen here?
Yes. I mean, that is from, based on all the facts that we've gathered so far, that is certainly what it appears that happened. And unfortunately, Jonathan is suffering because of this.
And so the allegation in this case, because again, according to my records, I haven't seen whether or not an arrest was made, but I'm assuming that, you know, LimePod is cooperating with police once a subpoena is offered. But are you saying that the person who drove the car was someone who was underage and stole the credit card information?
Well, so those are some leaps. Those are some assumptions.
Correct.
But what we do know is that these two young boys, they were teenagers and they did not apparently have driver's license. How do we know? The passenger that was caught and questioned explained that he was 15 and his friend, quote unquote, we believe possibly his brother because they looked very similar, was also underage.
So what are you proposing LimePod do exactly? Because I know that you're saying that it's a little bit too easy for people to go ahead and get, you know, signed up to go for the, so what are you proposing?
You know, that's a really great question, Jason. I mean, I've thought about that, especially since starting my representation of Jonathan. I mean, we hear a lot, and we know that there's security that incorporates biometrics. So, and there are a lot of reasons why we don't like using biometrics as a form of identification. But in something like this, where we're talking about crashing a car, the potential to crash a car, and where there's well over a thousand of them here in the city running around, we need some better measures. So that's one of my thoughts. I don't pretend to be an app developer, but I think that it's incumbent on Lime and other companies like Lime to make sure that they have really good security in place.
Sure,
but I don't think they do.
How far does that extend down that argument that they're now being held responsible for the nefarious acts of individuals? I you know, Lime Pod also operates Lime Bikes. Those are the mm-hmm. bike sharing. I can go right now, sure. grab a Lime bike and throw it at a car or at an individual. Is it Lime Bike's mm-hmm. fault that they didn't put like an anchor of some kind to weigh the bike down? At what point do you, from a legal perspective, say, okay, maybe I'm asking for something that is going after a company rather than going after the individual responsible?
Right. I mean, that's an excellent, those are all excellent questions, Jason.
I almost went to law school, Catherine. I took a con law 101 course, so I'm kind of an expert.
I can believe it. Yeah. No, those are all terrific questions. And ultimately what law is about, as you know, is making sure that the correct parties are named, who are held accountable. And so are these kids also accountable? Absolutely. But what I'm saying is at root, this is a very new industry, the Lime Pods, mm-hmm. and the way they're allowing just anyone, and we're talking about thieves who can just take a snapshot of your driver's license.
Well, they're not allowing
that. Problem. And I think
hold on, just real quick. They're not allowing that because that makes it sound like they're doing it with nefarious intent. You're saying that the technology would permit
that.
Well, there's a loophole, I suppose, in the technology. Again, what I don't want to make it sound like is that they want this to happen, which I'm assuming you certainly would concede they don't want this to happen. They would prefer it not because this obviously hurts business.
No, and I didn't mean to, if that's the way it sounded like, I certainly didn't mean to say that, of course, they don't want mounting legal bills, and they don't want, of course not, right. But the problem is that they need to bolster their security.
Is there anything that they can do right now, and I've only got a minute left, they can do right now that would stop a lawsuit from happening from your client?
That's a really great question. This is, first of all, they need to be more responsive. They've just passed the buck and they have been unresponsive.
Well, because you're a lawyer, I'm assuming that plays part of the threat of lawsuit.
No,
Cairo 7's reporting that you're ready to sue.
Well, we are prepared. We are prepared to sue, but certainly if they can cooperate with us and help make things right for my client, then absolutely.
So I mean, paying for bills, right?
Medical
bills. If they were to come up right now and say, you know what, we hear you, we're going to pay these medical bills, but we're not going to, you know, admit any fault in this, that would prevent a lawsuit?
Well, this is just a little early. We're still gathering all the facts, but that would be certainly a step towards resolution.
There you go. We've been talking with Catherine Fleming, lawyer from Seattle. Catherine, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason. Have a great night.
You as well. You're listening to The Jason Rancher. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. Go there now. Go behind the scenes of the show. Give me a like. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro, right here on AM 770 KTTH.